And now I look round and all the walls are falling down. They're falling down here. They're all falling down. I can hear them all cracking. And see all Michael Winner. Where's that, Rocky? Where's that? So I thought, fuck it, what can I do? So I know it's over there. So I went, I've got to go. I've got to do it. So I ran, jumped, put my hands over my eyes like that, went through the flames, came down, boom.
Hello and welcome to Cunning Stunts with myself, David Holmes. Ever since I was a teenager, I've been performing as a stuntman on feature films. And for 10 years, I was the stunt double for Harry on the Harry Potter films. Whilst preparing a stunt for the final film in the series, I suffered a spinal injury that had the effect of paralysing me from the chest down and ending my career. However, in the decades since the accident, my love of stunts, the stunt performer community and movies has never wavered. So I'm starting this podcast to highlight and pay tribute to the amazing performers who make up the stunt community, giving you first-hand accounts of the work that goes into crafting some of the mind-blowing action scenes you've seen on films such as Star Wars, Mission Impossible, and The Avengers, while also revealing the grit, talent, and bravado of those that risk their lives in the name of entertainment. One quick note, the other voice you'll hear occasionally is Dan Radcliffe, one of my best friends and acting double on the Harry Potter films. He's been sitting in on some of these interviews. Today we have the absolute legend that is Rocky Taylor. He's one of the giants of the industry and he's been lighting up your screens since the 1960s. He currently holds the record for the oldest stuntman still working and he's been in at least 12 Bond films from Dr. No all the way through to Skyfall, as well as appearing in such classics as Indiana Jones, Superman, and Titanic. Rocky tells us how he was the first person to know Roger Moore had been cast as James Bond, and what it's like to teach judo to Cliff Richard. He also gives us the inside story of a well-publicised accident he had on the set of Death Wish 3. So here's our interview with Rocky, and I hope you guys enjoy. Do you mind telling us your name and how long you've been involved in the stunts?
My name is Rocky Taylor.
Yeah.
Was Laurie Taylor, but changed to Rocky because of being a stuntman. I'll explain that to you. I've been a stuntman since 1961. So a few years now.
A few 55 years. Yeah. And do you love it, Rocky, firstly?
Darling, it's the only thing I really knew. I literally fell into it. And I'm doing a book, by the way.
Good luck. Yeah,
it's called I Just Fell Into It.
Nice.
Because that's how I really got into
it. So not nicking all of your book.
Yeah.
But can you just tell us how you did fall into it?
Right. My father, Larry Taylor, was an actor stuntman. He was never very good as a stuntman. He wasn't that brilliant as an actor. They used to call him bits and pieces. A line here and a line there and a line here. Little fight scene here and a little fight scene there. Da, 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 da. That's how he sort of got into it. He was an extra and then got into it.
Yeah.
And then for myself, when my dad went away to Australia on a film called Robbery Under Arms, I took him to the airport. I was only a little lad, just leaving school. And he went off to Australia. Mum's crying, I'm crying, he's gone away. I don't know how long, 6 months in Australia. And I had to get a job because I just left school. So my mother said, looked in the paper, said, there's a thing here, look, Film Producers Guild in London, St Martin's Lane. For a runner. So I phoned him up, Fred Blogden, his name. He said, yes. I said, I'd like to come up and have a meeting with you for that running job. He went, all right, come up. Cut a long story short, I got it. Now I'm in the film business without my father. Everybody thought my father got me into the film business, but it wasn't, it was myself. And now I'm running around Wardour Street, you know, Pathé News and all that, delivering films, letters, making tea for about a year. Oh, and then I started answering the phone as well. You had one of them phones where you push it in like that?
Yeah.
Just to cut back, because this is important, I became a black belt very early on in my life. When I was 16, 17, I became a black belt.
Karate?
Judo.
Judo, yeah.
So get back to the answering the phones. All of a sudden, I'm answering the phone. This guy called Harry Green came on. He went, Rocky. He said, yeah. He said, I've heard your father say that you've got a black belt. He said, yeah. He said, Peter Diamond's doing a film at ABC Cinema. It's called The Young Ones, Cliff Richards.
Right.
Yeah. I said, so what? He said, you do Judah. I said, yeah. He said, in this scene, there's a big fight scene at the end of the film where Cliff has to throw people over the shoulder. Judah hadn't been around. He's just coming in, you know, the Avengers and all that. So he said, could you come down and teach Cliff some Judo? So I had a Vespa. One of them, down I went to ABC Cinema, saw Peter Diamond, met Cliff and the Shadows. Don't forget, they were the biggest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, yeah.
Big, and Beatles wasn't even around then. So I'm meeting Cliff Richards and all that. Very, you know, young lad. Met him, shook his hand, met the director. He said, do you think you could teach Cliff some judo throws? I said, well, I'm sure we could. Shall we get some? So we got some mats in and some judo gear. And we had 2 or 3 weeks, I think it was, showing him moves, judo, showing him how to fall, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Eventually, he got it. Peter Diamond said, you're working so well with Cliff. Do you want to do the part of the young thugs that had a fight with him? All right, I haven't got an equity. He said, I'll get you an equity ticket. So he got me an equity ticket. I'm now part of the scene, kidnapping Robert Morley in a Rolls Royce on the A1, going to the set of the where they're doing the fight, have a fight, big fight scene, da-da-da-da-da, bang. I'm now in a fight.
And that was your first job.
I literally got into it. Peter then said, can you handle a sword, Rob? My dad come home by then, but I said, can you handle a sword? I said, well, yeah, I suppose so. He said, right, I'm doing Sir Francis Drake. Can you come round and do a couple of bits for me for stunts? A little bit of sword play, stabbed, fall into the wall. Yeah, sure. Now I'm doing that. So I've gone from Young Ones to Sir Francis Drake in a matter of 3 or 4 weeks.
And brilliant.
It was unbelievable.
How old were you, Rocky?
17, 18.
Ah, oh, lovely. And were you telling all the girls?
I mean, I promise you, I didn't even know what a stuntman was, let alone being a stuntman. I just thought I was doing it because someone else couldn't do it.
Were you telling the girls in the pub on a Friday night?
Oh, everything was happening then, boy. Yeah, no, that was great. Then I realised that I was a stuntman, and it sort of all took place. Then I had my first job abroad. I went to Israel on a thing called Judith, playing army thing with Peter Finch, and his girlfriend then was Shirley Bassey. I remember she came out there.
Really?
And I'm out firing machine guns and standing all these rendezvous, these bloody, what do you call it, huts and stuff out there. It was incredible, incredible experience. Not knowing that I'm still not, I don't know what am I doing here?
Yeah.
You know, I'm playing cowboys and Indians.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
So, but your career has obviously progressed and you've got more and more work, and then the stunts that were asked of you got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Exactly. Well, my lucky break was a guy called Ray Austin. Because I was down at ABC, as I said, and this TV series was going on called The Avengers.
Yeah.
And I was a sort of a young, very young, established, new kid coming through the block, stuntman. All the rest were older. I was the very youngest one around. And Ray heard about me, and Ray Austin said, Rock, come down, we want you to play a little thug. Always a thug, never a lover. Can't believe it.
Got a face for thug, Rocky. Face for thug.
I get down here and there's this fight going on with me and this other stuntman and the guy doubling for Steed. And Ray said, I want you to come down here. Mike Sands, his name was, I think. Mike, I want you to come down here, put your hand on the banister, flip over, land on the table with your feet, kick the vase, kick the stuntman, jump down and hit him with a punch. He went, Ray, I can't do that. He said, what do you mean? He said, oh, well, you're a stuntman. He said, put your hand on the banister, come over, land on the table. But he said, no, I can't do it. He looked around, he went, Rocky, yeah, can you do this? I said, what's it? And he told me. I went up, went, what do you mean, like this? He went, yeah, go and get the suit. So I got the suit on, the hat, the cane, I come back out. 5 years later, I'm doubling for Steed.
Really? And I mean, it really was the golden age of filmmaking at that time.
I think
it was fun, you know, you were great exotic locations.
Well, from that, I was doing that for 5 years, and a guy called Joe Wadham used to have a company called 99 Cars, and they were based at EMI. Phoned me, another call. Rocky, yeah, we're going away on a picture, a driving picture, because I was known as a good driver, always had driving cars, always been known as a driver. He said, we're taking a team away. I can't remember all their names, but there's Val Musetti, Mark Boyle, Roy Scammell, Joe Wadham, oh, it went on, about 8 of us, going away to Sweden, Italy and France on this film called Monte Carlo or Bust.
Oh, wow.
Monte Carlo or Bust. Wow. I'm now driving cars, you can't, these old-fashioned cars. One of the hardest stunts I've ever done and is I drove a car down the Cresta Run. You know Cresta Run?
Yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right there. And
the ski run.
Yeah, the ski run, yeah.
You drove a car down the Cresta ski run.
What it was, we're doing this car chase, and we skid, and I break through a wall, and as I'm on a wall, I'm now on the Cresta Run. That's the scene of the shot.
Oh, no.
And in front of me are four guys in a toboggan. So we're going down like that down the Cresta Run. I had two helicopters following me, six cameras on the hill, and Dinny, bless him, Dinny Powell, who was my pal then, he said, Rocky, don't worry, anything happens, I'll be after you. Now, don't forget, he's got to run down the mountain in snow that deep. His legs are going east. It was so funny, but he, bless him, he did it. And when I finished, he came up, he went, you're all right. I said, yeah, I'm all right, how about you? He went, oh, just wanted to know. But Ken Anakin, the director, said it's the best shots he's ever seen. And he said, I want you and your team, Joe, to go back to your hotel and give us a crate of Dom Perignon and have a drink in the...
Ah, the golden age of filmmaking, you know what I mean?
So that was one of the greatest stunts that I've ever done, for me, as a young kid, you know, driving these cars. And obviously, before we went, you know, I was a good driver, always have been, but we went to the skid pen for 2 weeks, learning how to broadside and to control cars and all that, you know? So, because, you know, you, no matter what, you can never learn that, you have to be taught how to skid.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I did.
Yeah, nice. So, and do you still drive like a madman today?
I do. I enjoy it. It's my passion. If I hadn't have been a stuntman, I should have been a racing driver. But
really?
I suppose that's every kid's dream.
Yeah. And can you just mention some of the actors that you have got to double over the years?
Roger
Moore?
My favourite. He's most probably the best actor that I've ever met in my life as a person.
Really?
Not as an actor. He knows he can't act. He's always said he don't act. He's Roger Moore. But as a person, he was a diamond. Most saddest day of my life when he died. But, boy?
So other actors that you doubled, did you do Sean Connery?
Sean, I've done on Highlander.
Yeah.
Did that one, the sword fight, big sword fight I did for him out in Argentina, which was lovely. But I want to tell you a great story about Roger, can I?
Please do.
I'm walking down Pinewood Studios, all the photographs like that, they're all there like that, every photograph of my mother, with Les Crawford, who was Roger Moore's permanent double.
Yeah.
But when Roger Moore, when he had to go over a settee, Les couldn't do that. So he got Rocky in. So
right,
I did the settee and he did the bunge ups, you know what I mean? Anything a bit near the mark, poor old Les couldn't do it. Anyway, we're walking down and right at the very bottom, I could hear this voice, Rocky, Les, quick. So we run down the corridor, 100 miles an hour, like that. Went, what? He said, come here. So we get closer. He went, you're now looking at James Bond. We went, what? He said, I've just signed for James Bond with Broccoli.
No.
I went, no. He went, yeah, we went, yeah. He said, come in the dressing room. We went in the dressing room, dancing around the dressing room, drinking champagne, going, James Bond.
Lovely. So you was one of the first people who was
first person to know.
Really?
Fantastic.
Car, wicked.
Right, so you doubled Roger and was that the year that you doubled them both?
No, that wasn't the year I doubled them both. The year I doubled both of them was 19... Come on.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly.
We weren't even alive, I don't think, Rocky.
And I can't remember the actual year of it. I should do. Octopussy and Never Say Never.
Yeah.
The reason I doubled for both of them was that I was doubling for Roger Moore in India, and Martin Grace had a very bad accident on the train. Do you remember when he broke his hip and all
don't
that?
Don't remember, but I heard about it.
Well, so I was out in India and they sent me back to finish off the doubling. But because it took so long to get back, they needed to shoot, so they got in Paul Weston.
Yeah.
So Paul Weston ended up doubling on finishing off the train. As I'm sitting there, the phone goes, and it's Vic Armstrong saying, Rocky, he was doubling for Sean.
Yeah.
In the Bahamas, and he'd done his leg, he'd done his back in, and he couldn't run. And there was a big sequence of helicopter chasing him through the sugar grove.
Yeah.
So he said, can you get a plane out to the Bahamas? I went, what? Bang.
Sweet.
I'm there. Bang. There for 4 or 5 weeks in the Bahamas, doubling for Sean. Right. In the opening titles. I got killed 5 times in the opening titles.
Yeah, how many times do you think you've been killed on camera?
Oh, okay. God, it's impossible to work out.
Really?
More than I've had women.
Would you mind talking us through your 3 Guinness World Records?
Yeah, I mean, they are Guinness World Records. I don't think they're actually fantastic world records, but they are world records, and I've got them.
Yeah.
The first one is the oldest stuntman still working, performing, and I've got that up there. I've got Roger Moore and Sean Connery, the only stuntman to double 2 Bonds in 1 year. And the last one was Remember a Charity. They got me as their sort of mascot, is it the word, or whatever. I had to do a year with them going around promoting Remember a Charity. If you die, you leave a percentage of your in a will, charities will blossom. Hmm. So I went around promoting that. And they said, can you do a stunt for me? I said, well, what do you want? I did 2 stunts, actually. The first one was jumping off a building on fire into boxes. They wanted me to create the accident that I had in 1985. They said, could you do that again? I said, but of course, but that was an accident. I broke my back. What are you talking about? No, we'll do it properly this time. So I said, well, all right, we'll talk. So we built a tower, 45-foot tower, with Rocky Taylor on the front like that, with all jets and flames and all that going up the side. And I get up the top and they count to 10, bang, and I come off, into the boxes, boom, clap. So that was one. But the other one you're talking about, the Guinness record thing, was I went up a pipe ramp through a piece of glass that thick, about 5 inches thick, upside down, crashing it on cars and landing upside down. And that was a world record going through the glass.
And that was only a few years ago?
3 years ago.
3 years ago.
That's it's on YouTube. Cool.
Wow.
Remember a Charity, it's called.
Yeah, that's good. Now, you just mentioned it earlier, but can we talk about your Death Wish story? I know you. It's been very publicised.
No, it's
but between us, you know, like...
Yeah. It's like you don't really want to talk about your own, do you? I mean, but I suppose you have to.
You got to, haven't you? It's part of it.
So, what it was, I was on the set of Death Wish 3, been on it for a week, getting skidding motorbikes, crashing motorbikes, doing little bits of getting shot, falling downstairs, blah, blah, blah. And I'm walking past Mark Boyle, who was the stunt coordinator, who, bless him, he died of him. And he's sitting there talking to Michael Winner. And he went, here, do it. And Winner, Rocky, you'll do that, won't you? What's that? Over there is a wooden facade building. So that's got to be caught on fire. We need someone coming out off the roof. Can you do that? I looked at Mark, he said, yeah. I said, well, I'm sure I could, yeah. I didn't know that 2 or 3 other people turned it down. They did. I didn't know that till later. And so I go up, they show me what it is. It's only about 35 feet, not tremendous. And it's on the top. And what's going to happen, the front of the wall here is going to go up in flames, little trickle of flames going up like that. I come to the wall, I look round, I jump into the boxes.
Yeah.
And it blows up behind me.
Yeah. And the boxes, were they hidden?
So they were dug in the ground.
So they dug in.
And hidden by a car. So I come, the camera's over there. So I come past the car into the boxes. That's a shot. And then they blow the building up behind me. Well, the inside the building was all empty inside. There were cans of petrol, gallons of petrol like that. And they had sprinklers, you know, them sprinklers that you do for the garden?
Yeah.
Water sprinklers. Well, they were going to sort of be throwing petrol out, a light. That's how it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But only what happened was that the special effects turned them up and they exploded.
Oh, God.
The drums went straight up in the air. So instead of being 3 or 4 foot of flames around the edge, they were 17 feet high and about 20 foot deep wide, the flames.
Oh, God. And you're on the top
and
of
I'm
the building.
On top.
And you're the only one up there.
And I'm the only one.
No radio, no contact to the ground.
All I can hear is Michael Winner going, Rocky, jump. Where's Rocky? Rocky, come on, where's that Rocky? Rocky, jump. Of course, I couldn't get near the edge. So I had an escape, which was at the back of me, was a ladder going down in case of emergency. But what we didn't realise, the black smoke from the petrol.
Yeah.
I turned around, I couldn't, it's like looking at that.
Yeah.
I couldn't, so I thought, I've got to go towards the ladder. So I walked towards the ladder, and I'm in, now in the black smoke, but I didn't, well, thank God I didn't turn around. I just went straight, straight, straight. Now I realise I can't hardly breathe. So I went, I've got to go back. So I went backwards, like that, out into the open again. I couldn't get to the ladder. So now I look round, and all the walls are falling down. They're falling down here. They're all falling down. I can hear them all cracking. And seal Michael Winner, where's that Rocky? Where's that? So I thought, fuck it, what can I do? So I know it's over there. So I went, I've got to go. I've got to do it. So I ran, jumped, put my hands over my eyes like that, went through the flames, came down, boom, and I've missed the boxes. Well, I hit the boxes. This side, hit the boxes. This side hit the earth because it's dug in a hole, you know. So the, this side went in, and this side went. This side went like that. Came up like that. It was unbelievable.
Really?
The pain was just incredible.
Yeah.
And I was burnt because I didn't know it was going to be that powerful.
Yeah.
So I had fire gel on.
Yeah.
But it wasn't strong enough to go through the flames. All my hands were burnt. All my face was burnt.
Oh.
Burning. Wow. I mean, smoke was coming off. My daughters came to the hospital. And she said, all I could see was your smoke coming out your face like that, where your skin was burning.
And what had you done skeletally? Have you separated your hips or broken your back?
I'd broke two vertebrae and my pelvis was snapped in half. This bit was up here.
Jesus.
So what happened was, I was very, very lucky. The doctor or the medic who was going to do it was watching TV. Because that... They had a film crew there filming Michael Winner. This is Michael Winner. He's over here, Michael Winner there. And all of a sudden, there's a stunt. Oh, let's film the stunt. And it went wrong.
Yeah.
So it was televised, it was in the papers, it was everywhere. I had more publicity than anybody ever imagined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Robinson, his name, he was at home watching the television and the phone went. He went, I've just seen it on the telly. I'm on my way in.
Amazing.
Exactly what happened. So he put the phone down. He rushed to the thing. He came in, and I was like that. Every orifice on me was tubes and smoke and you know, that, and pain. They're giving me morphine as well because I'm in pain. And he looked down at me. He went, Mr. Taylor. I said, yeah. He said, can I call you Rocky? I said, yeah, yeah, call me Rocky. He said, I've got to operate on you. He said, because you still want to be a stuntman when you come out of here. I said, yes. He said, if I don't operate...
You won't. Mental.
I said, do it. Just do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what they did, he went in and he put this side on a weight that was...
Traction weight.
And it pulled it down. After 2 weeks in hospital, it was down a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, until my pelvis got level.
Really? So you had that leg in full compression traction?
Yeah, and the bolt through there where they were pulling it down every day. And they moved me like that. I was like that, and they moved me like that. That's one day. That's 2 days.
Really?
That's 3 days. Oh, it went on and on. But I haven't got a limp, thank God.
Yeah.
And he fixed it. I had nuts and bolts in me. I've still got pins here, both sides. But he said... I had to leave them in, he said, because... when I went to have an X-ray on my back, I'd done something. And they said, what's that? I said, what? You've got a nut. A nut come off the bolts, and it's still inside me. They said, we had to leave it. He said, because we could have dug around for a week and never found it.
No way.
So I've still got a nut and bolt floating about inside me now. But, I mean, that's how that happened on Death Wish 3.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And you're 73 now, Rocky?
72, please.
72, sorry.
73 next time, February.
73 next February, and you're still performing stunts, and you still pick up that phone for a job now?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's nothing I wouldn't do. I don't particularly want to do falls on the ground anymore because of the hips, My days of falling about are over, I would say.
But throwing a car around.
I love throwing cars around and turning cars over. Anybody wants me to give them jobs, I'd do them all day long.
Yeah, lovely.
Not worried about them whatsoever.
And even when you were telling that story then of the the doctor who came into you, and even in that moment when you've just been through all that and he said, you want to be a stuntman,
you
want to
go
this?
Back? The answer is yes. I mean, I've done it since I've left school.
Yeah.
I can't do the, I'm not a computer man neither. And it's what do I do? Now at 70, what do I do? I'm thinking myself, where am I going now? I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Mate, the way you're looking, Rocky, don't worry, you're doing all right, mate.
You're a nice man.
Doing all right.
It's been a pleasure.
Listen, Rocky, thanks for coming in today.
Darling.
Rocky, thanks,
my darling,
mate.
Thank you. And
cheers,
well
done, mate.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Rocky. Thank you, mate.
Lovely. Thank you, mate. All right, thanks again to Rocky for joining us. On a personal note, I know that Rocky and myself would like to thank the NHS on helping him beat the fight against COVID-19 recently. I hope you all enjoyed listening, and thanks for tuning in. And we'll be back very soon. Until then, take care. Ripple Production podcast series produced by myself, David Holmes, and Amy Stairs. Sound recording, editor, and music by Joe Lamb. To find out more about us, please visit our website, www.rippleproductions.co.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram.